And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is unbelievable. All three of my guests are sharing thoughts and ideas that you may find unbelievable. My first guest is a neuroscientist who specializes in the relationship dynamics that result from the differences in men's and women's brains. We discussed her latest book, The Male Brain. My second guest, both of them, challenge everything that we knew about Howard Hughes' later life. We discuss new revelations that they discovered about Howard Hughes from their latest book, Boxes, The Secret Life of Howard Hughes. My next guest has a plan to transform education and eradicate the rampant dropout rate that most of our public schools experience today. We're going to talk about his latest manifesto, Officially Pathetic. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Dr. Jeffrey Jones is a graduate of Northwestern Dental School. He practices dentistry in Normal, Illinois. What a great sounding town. He was named to the Consumers Research Council of America's Top Dentists back in 2006-2007. Jeff is involved in a variety of service organizations that aid children at risk. Jeff, interestingly enough, ran for Congress in 2000, and he's married with four daughters, one son, and as I said before, lives in Normal, Illinois. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jones. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you, Billy.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, particularly since we know you're getting all that snow there in Illinois, so we appreciate your taking time out of your probably very hectic schedule to be with us. Now, let's set the stage for my listeners, shall we? I mean, high school dropout rates in many major United States cities is just, well, there's no other word for it. It's abysmal. 75% dropout rate in Detroit, 70% dropout rate in Indianapolis, 60% in Cleveland and in Baltimore. In total, there are 17 other major U.S. cities that have higher than 50% high school dropout rate. So let's start at the beginning, Dr. Jones. What's the underlying reason for all of these astonishing dropout rates?
Well, it's a complex issue. I don't think you could find a more complex issue. It's one of the best examples of paralysis by analysis that I've ever seen. And, you know, nothing inside the box has ever worked. So my ideas are out of the box.
All right. And that's always good. We like to go outside of the box when something isn't working for us. Well, then let's look at, instead of the causes, let's look at the implications. What are some of the societal implications of all of these high dropout rates? I mean, I find it fascinating, some of the things that you quote.
We're going to pay one way or the other. I mean, welfare, crime, 60% of high school dropouts end up in jail at some point. So, you know, dropping out is the road to nowhere. It always has been.
Well, it surely has. That, just stop you right there. 60% of high school dropouts end up in jail at some point or another. I mean, that by itself is a staggering, staggering number.
The pipeline to poverty.
The pipeline to poverty. I like that. That's right. A great catchphrase. Well, then tell me, you know, if we know the number is 60% are going to end up in jail, we know that in big cities like Detroit and others that the dropout rate is well north of 50%, what's America's blind spot to fixing this particular problem?
Well, you know, oddly, it seems to me that we have never really given education the priority that it needs. We don't want to fund it, and it's a lot like a hot potato. It gets tossed from the federal to the state to the local, and so I really think failure to really confront the problem fully is huge.
Well, certainly there's no doubt about it that the results have not been there, despite Race to the Top or No Child Left Behind, whatever the catchphrase is for the slogan. But the reality is this, Dr. Jones, that expenditures per student have been going up since the 1960s. I mean, here in California, each year we spend on average more than $5,500 for our public high school students to get an education, and that is up significantly over the 1970s. And yet, education seems to be failing us, despite the fact we're throwing more money at it. So, you know, we can't say that it's a lack of funding. Certainly there has been money there to do this. What is our myopia when it comes to education in this country, do you think?
Well, you know, you're right. We can't buy a solution. You know, we have proven over and over that, you know, increased spending doesn't improve the dropout problem or academic performance in general. But, you know, at the same time, it's so easily observed that so many schools are under-resourced. You know, if you're planning on dropping the dropout rate from 50% down to 5%, you know, clearly we're going to need more teachers, more tutors, more classroom space, other associated needs and costs. And so at some level, funding is going to be clearly necessary.
All right. So let's get right to it then. I mean, you ran for Congress in 2000, and you wanted to run on an education platform. You say you've got some solutions. So let's lay it out for my listeners. What are some of the solutions that you have that will help us get over this crisis that we're having in our public schools?
Well, let me digress for just a moment. I think there are a few principles that we have to look at before any plan could ever be successful. I'll try to be brief.
Sure.
But, you know, principle one is Congress is not the solution. You know, in the history of America, Congress has never done anything to effectively reduce the dropout rate. You know, so I believe that the role of Congress should be minimized. You know, another principle is that the emphasis needs to be on people, you know, not money. You know, the short story here is that more money without great teachers creating great schools hasn't worked. Poor parenting, you know, continues to undermine basically everything.
All right. But let me stop you right there, Dr. Jones, because that's an interesting point. People before money, and I agree with you, but it is that chicken and egg conundrum. If you want to have the best teachers in schools, you have to pay the teachers. Unfortunately, you look at teachers' salaries, and teachers' salaries are among the lowest in the United States. Here in California, there are garbage collectors, first-year garbage collectors, who will make more money than a first-year teacher. Something is out of balance there.
Well, I agree. The whole situation is kind of like I call it a Medusa. It's like an eight-headed monster. You know, taxpayers are revolting. You know, people are cynical and upset. The country's nearly bankrupt. You got multiple turf wars that exist, the unions versus the school administrators. You know, bad teachers, they fight hard to keep their job, and politics is generally on their side. You know, the states don't want to pay for it, or they can't pay for it. You know, the federal government wants to regulate, but they don't want to pay. They toss it around like a football. You know, one out of seven Americans lives in poverty. That's a lot of parents and a lot of kids. And you have a lot of generational issues where the only example in the life of a kid are examples of failure. You know, the highest group of kids that drop out are kids whose parents dropped out. So the situation is very complex.
It is. All right. Well, what are some of the other overriding principles that you've got? So far, Congress is not the solution, and we have people over money. What are some other baseline principles that we need to have in place?
Well, just basically a realization that, you know, the best year in American dropout history was 1969, and one out of four still dropped out. That in our 50 largest cities, every one of the 50 has a huge dropout problem that should be greater than F. You know, the average for all of those 50 cities is 50% dropouts. You know, the test scores are terrible. They flatlined for decades. Republicans, Democrats have never done anything effective ever. All the presidents have failed. There's a critic and a cynic on every street corner that make broad sweeping generalizations. You know, so how can any solution rise to the level to defeat such a complex problem?
Well, I agree. We're talking to Dr. Jeffrey Jones, everybody. He's the author of the book Officially Pathetic. And Dr. Jones, help me to understand something. And this is a dichotomy that has troubled me for a long time. How is it that America has the best universities in the world? And we know they're the best because of all the foreign students coming over here to get a college education. How can we have the best universities in the world and have one of the worst public school education systems in the developed modern world?
Well, it's a phrase I call zip code cancer. I mean, if you're in the right zip code, you're in a pretty good place. But we are machine gunned by zip code cancer in this country, where local pockets of poor, their schools are terrible because there are just so many things that are out of whack. Funding is one of them, and a whole list, poor parenting, and an entire list of other problems that goes on and on. Really, we'd need about 2 hours to fully lay out clearly all the how complex this problem really is.
All right. Well, that's more time than we have today. So
that's true. But I'm ready to go with a solution.
All right. Let's do it.
I'm ready to go with the impossible solution.
Okay. Let's do it.
So what's this out of the box plan? You know, the plan that does the impossible. You know, the movie Waiting for Superman begins with the line, "No one with enough power is coming to save us." And then the movie says Superman doesn't exist. But, you know, really, is that true? That's not true. Because everybody knows that America does have Superman and Superwomen. America does have real-world superheroes. And America needs to call out to them for help. And this is my list. I call it the Great Eight.
Okay.
There's a waiting list, okay? Bill Gates, Donald Trump, Oprah, Warren Buffett, Colin Powell, Mark Zuckerberg, Tony Robbins, Ted Turner. You see, Superman is coming times eight. Well, maybe. Because, you know, at least at this point in time, under my idea, they're being officially invited to help. You know, they may or may not want to accept the invitation, but if not, we go to the next name on the waiting list. You know, this is a unique opportunity. The people involved are already famous and icons of their industries and America. This is a chance for them to become super legends, etched in a higher place in American history than they could ever before have achieved. You know, it's really time for a great awakening in this country. The plan is very simple. The states are divided up among these eight people in a way that stimulates friendly competition, that provides a good basis for research and comparison of the different styles that the eight or less leaders to choose. You know, each remain the leader over his or her own state. You know, everyone helps everyone else, working together for the common good, but at the same time remains autonomous. Bill Gates is appointed the chief justice of the group, but he has no more voting power than the others. They're all equal. You see, then the American people have to give the Great Eight, fill in the blank, $1 billion to transform American education. The eight have no obligation to spend all the money, no mandated time frame in which to spend it. Everyone works together, sharing ideas, planning, helping each other, inspiring others, but each is autonomous from the others, in charge of their own states, friendly competition, and eight unique approaches is the game of the day. My personal motto for myself is I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. If we could just get one of America's supermen to think like that, then we could change this idea from idealism to really happening in the real world. I mean, seriously, I think eight is a better idea, but seriously, don't you really think that Bill Gates or Donald Trump or Warren Buffett or Steve Jobs, if he was healthy, could do this alone, all by themselves, let alone having the help of the other people? You know, look at it this way. The federal government has mismanaged our kids and grandkids' financial future so badly by borrowing so much money from them. The federal government, Republicans and Democrats, has created this mountain of debt. They've mortgaged our kids and our grandkids' futures and placed them at great risk. The only real way for them to survive our mistake is to grow the economy. But we haven't given them the education and the inspiration that is required to do that. And the sad part is America's kids have already paid up front for educational transformation and paid up front 10 times over. They deserve the funding and especially the chance at an education. You know, time to balance the scales.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Jeffrey Jones, everybody, author of the book Officially Pathetic. And in the minute that we've got remaining, Doc, what lessons did you learn from your unsuccessful campaign for Congress that are going to help you in this effort to transform education?
Well, that you have to be true to yourself. You know, you can't sell out for, you know, just political gain. Ultimately, you have to have a willingness to go out on the limb and risk failure. I think tackling a big problem, you know, is complex and difficult and has a high rate of failure. But, you know, it's the big problems that ultimately make the biggest difference. So,
and we're going to have to leave it there, Dr. Jones. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. You're cutting out. And so thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.